Father, thank you for your precious word this morning. Thank you for those who served in the military and are serving, and for those that gave their lives. And as Chuck shared, greater love had no man than this, and to lay down his life for a friend. And Lord, you laid your life down for us because you call us friends. What a friend we have in Jesus, we sing often, but oftentimes we really ponder what that means, especially with all of the precious thoughts that you have towards us, Lord. And so this morning, with open Bibles and open hearts, open ears, we pray that you would teach us, lead us, guide us in all truth, and that you, the Good Shepherd, would feed your sheep, Lord. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. We do pray for our nation, those in leadership. I'm not going to name them, but every person, be at a high level or a local level, we pray in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit that if they don't know you, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and the hardness from their heart, and that you would save their souls, Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And so, Lord, we do lift them before you and pray for the salvation of their souls. In the meantime, thank you for everybody here this morning. Thank you for your word, which is truth, and we pray that you would lead us and guide us here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at the first six verses here this morning, and then we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us. Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls, came and talked with me, John writing, of course, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." You're probably sitting there going, man, this is heavy stuff already this morning. But you know, again, I want to remind you, as I have through the difficult sections of the revelation of Jesus Christ, that what we have before us, even again here in chapter 17, should not be disturbing to believers, as this is the tribulation period and the church will not be here. It will be at the wedding supper of the Lamb in heaven. Someone posted on Facebook yesterday that they're waiting for the trump of God to sound. How close are we? Closer than Paul was when he wrote that, 2,000 years closer. Many people today think that it's the Donald Trump that's going to save us, but no, it's the Trump of God that's going to save us as we're caught up in the air to meet the Lord for the 7 years of the wedding supper of the Lamb in heaven with Jesus Christ. What's that going to be like? I don't even have a clue. I can't even imagine. But what we see here should cause us to rejoice in Jesus Christ. Because you've heard me share many times over the past couple of weeks, we tell people, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. But we need to realize and recognize what we are saved from. And we're going to see some of those things here this morning, some heavy-duty stuff. These are the things that we are saved from and more. That's why Jesus came to save us, to save us from our sins. And the wages of sin is death. And what we're going to see here this morning again has to do with the wages of sin in the world in which we live. But at the same time, it also should cause us to pray and share with those who don't know Jesus Christ. We should have an urgency that people would come to know the Lord. We're getting close. And when I read this, I would not want my worst enemy to go through the tribulation period. That's why Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. It's so, so important. Do you pray for those in office? I hear a lot of Christians blasting those in office. I'm not going to name names as to who they blast. But I often remind them, you know me with my sick sense of humor, I say, you need to pray for them, and why don't we pray right now, and why don't you start? All of a sudden it gets silent. And so the scene here in the first couple of verses, verses 1 and 2, begins with an invitation to the Apostle John to come up in the Spirit, verse 3 tells us, and see what God is going to do with the false worldwide political and religious system. We're going to talk about the political and religious system here this morning. God has a plan for it. We're going to see the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. This is also known as Babylon, which, as we know, originated at the Tower of Babel, way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, where man rebelled against God. And you know what? Times haven't changed. Man is still rebelling against God. And back then, it was the beginning of, again, a false religious system, as well as political system. It's interesting that Babylon means the gate of God. It was anything but. Babylon, again, is a false political system, false religious system. Four times this morning, verses 1, verse 5, 15, and 16, the world's false religious system is called the harlot, and her sin is called fornication, as her influence has seduced the whole world. Amazing, isn't it? And you know what? I can relate with what I see, what I hear, with what I read, with what comes on the television set, including politics, the political leaders, those in high places. This is actually what Nahum, the prophet Nahum, prophesied in Nahum 3, verse 4. I'll read it to you. Because of the multitude of the harlotries, of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries, this woman who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries. She's intoxicating them, it says, with her fornication. Amazing what God reveals to us in his incredible word. It's amazing how, even though John penned these words 2,000 years ago, it's like we're right there, folks. And as I've shared many times, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when I used to share the word of God, it was almost like these things are future. And I've never felt in my own heart and spirit such almost an anxiety of the soon return of Jesus Christ. It's exciting, but I'm concerned for my nation, for my friends, relatives, and my neighbors and those who don't know Jesus Christ. My heart is burdened like never before. The amazing thing here is that even after the rapture, some churches will still be meeting. When the trump of God sounds, wouldn't it be interesting if people were sitting in church to see who would be left behind? There used to be a movie called Left Behind, and they showed a picture of that one time. And the trump of God sounded. People were raptured out of the church, and guess what? The pastor was still in the pulpit. Wow, that's scary. That's why this is all we look at here on Sundays, Wednesdays, whenever we get together. We look into God's word, which is truth. This is real soul food. We need to know these things like never before. And so we see here this seductive harlot has seduced the political future, and we can see it right now. the political and the spiritual world. The amazing thing that, like I said, after the rapture, people will still be in church. She's called the harlot, the pseudo-religious system. Look again at verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This is the false religious system. We're going to see the interpretation of this in the second half of this chapter, the confirmation of who we're talking about. Notice also her adornment in verses 3 and 4. So he carried me away into the spirit, in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. So here she sits on this scarlet beast, who is, as we've seen in the previous chapters, the Antichrist. Chapter 13 tells us this is Antichrist. And the city, Revelation 13 tells us, is the revived Roman Empire, the city on 7 hills. Interesting. That city happens to be Rome. And the religious system is Roman in those days. I can't help it. I'm not bashing the Catholic people, but I am bashing the Catholic religious system. We are never to pray for statues. Never, ever. We are never to pray to Mary. The Bible very clearly says there is but one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. As we're going to see towards the end of our study, to be spiritual doesn't mean you eat fish on Friday. Remember Peter and the sheet coming down 3 times? Take and eat, Pete, you know. Call nothing unclean. And it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your heart. And so what you eat does not make you any more spiritual than anybody else. And so we're going to see some more things here in a moment that point to a false one world religious system. And she's adorned in purple and scarlet. Those are the 2 colors of the Catholic Church. Gold, precious stones and pearls with a golden cup, it says, filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. We need to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We need to know what the Bible says, first of all, on how to be saved. And also, God's nature, God's character, God's plan for your life. When you come to know Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and man and him alone, my Bible tells me that he that is in Christ is a new creation. All of the old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And this is what changes us, the washing of the word and the renewing of our mind. And I often share with people, they go, you Christians are brainwashed. And I go, yes, thank you very much. I have a dirty brain, and this is the best way to wash it, the washing of the word, renewing my mind. And my dirty, filthy little heart, too. It's the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that washes our mind and our heart and conforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. And I have a lot of wonderful friends and relatives that tell me that they never read their Bible and they're Catholics. And there's a lot of people in this fellowship that are former Catholics who said, man, I never knew what the Bible says. We need to know what the manufacturer's handbook says. If you're going to go to heaven, you want to make sure you know how to get there. And this book tells us how to get there. You know me, with my sick sense of humor, I often tell people when they ask me what to do, I go, I'm a travel agent. I can tell you how to get to heaven. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Also tell them I'm an assistant cardiologist. I work with the great physician who gives new hearts. Yeah. This is the book that does it. Just deliver the mail. I tell them I'm a mailman as well. I just deliver the mail. And this is what changes. This is why we put such an emphasis on the Word of God. You don't need a song and dance guy up here. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, you know? No, you don't need that. You need to hear what God says. And if we only have an hour in God's Word on Sunday or Wednesday or whatever, you need to hear God's Word, the words of eternal life, Peter said. And so here we see the cup is filled with abominations, how sad, of the mother of harlots. The Babylonian system has given birth to all false religions. They all come out of Babylon. And look at the false religions in the world today. And again, I'm not going to point them all out. There's too many of them. I've heard there's like 6,600 false religions in the world today. She seduced the world into opposing God and persecuting his saints. Look at verses 5 and 6 again. On her forehead, a name was written, Mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And guess what? There are false religions today that are martyring Christians right now as I speak. Oh, we think we have it bad as Christians here in America. I got news for you, folks. America's been Christian Disneyland for too long. Persecution is starting to heat up in the world. And it's right above us in Canada. They're closing churches down. They're arresting pastors for preaching the word. We have a pastor friend that they closed his church down after 24 years. And it's going to head this way. I told someone the other day to Google, go online and look at the national terrorist list. And guess who's number 2 on that list? Christians. Is that nuts or what? We love, as God does, the world. We love the lost. We want people to get saved, and they accuse us of terrorism. How sad. And guess what number 3 is? Anti-vaxxers. Ay, ay, ay. Now we got another one coming. Monkeypox. I'm not going to touch that one. I'm going to move right along. But John marveled, it says here, when he saw the woman intoxicated with the blood of the saints. Throughout church history, through all of the eras of church history, there have been people that have laid down their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there will be more martyrs, as we've seen, during the tribulation period. And so the angel now says to John, why do you marvel? As he's now going to explain the mystery of the woman, the beast, the 7 heads, and the 10 horns. Look at verses 7 to 10. But the angel said to me, John, why did you marvel? And again, you think about it. When John got caught up into heaven and God told him he was going to see the past, the present, and the future. And what must John have thought to see that what the future holds for the whole world? I can't even imagine. If you and I got caught up through that door that's open in heaven and we were shown all of these things, what would we think about the tribulation period and what was going to take place? There's going to be some heavy-duty stuff in the next couple of weeks that we're going to cover. But again, thanks be to God that we won't be here because we are saved from them. And so here again in verse 7, the angel says, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery. Mystery, it means hidden truth. And isn't it wonderful that God, when you get saved, and when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he reveals hidden truths to you and I that the world cannot understand. Because the Bible says the natural man or woman cannot understand spiritual things. Those without Jesus Christ, those that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, cannot understand spiritual things. But here, because John is saved and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, I'm going to tell you the mysteries of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition, which the original language is destruction. Whoa. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, like I had mentioned earlier, Rome, on which the woman sits, the harlot, the false religious system, the prostitute. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. When he comes, he must continue a short time. There's talk about the United States of Europe coming one day, where these nations will be united. And this is a picture of that. Notice, there are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. When he comes, he must continue a short time. So here, again, we have the mother of harlots riding on the beast, carrying her scarlet and purple, again, both of which are associated with Rome. And again, the harlot symbolizes a wicked, religious, and political system. Would you say that that's going on today? And again, look at the political system, not just in America, but throughout the world. Look what we're doing. We're calling what is good evil and evil good. We are legalizing things that God warns about. The wages of sin is still death, whether we legalize it or not. Just because the government legalizes something does not mean that God approves of it. Sin is sin in the eyes of God, and the wages of sin is death. That saddens my heart. And again, look at the religious system today. Many churches, and I say many churches, are throwing out the Old Testament. We don't need that anymore. I got news for you. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is God-breathed, and you don't tamper with the word of God. Woe to those who add to God's word or take away from it. And if you're throwing out the Old Testament, you've taken away 39 books from the 66 incredible books that God has given us called the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, God breathed. And that bothers me when I hear about pastors that no longer teach the Old Testament. Sad. They no longer preach about sin. That's all about feeling good about yourself. You know when I really feel good about myself? When I know my sins are nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ and God remembers them no more. That's when I feel really good, because I'm still a sinner. I still blow it, and so do you. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us for how much of our sin? Part of it? Oh, all of it? You mean we don't need purgatory? Jesus said, "It is finished, my friend." There is no such thing as purgatory, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, he has purged us from all of our sins. How much is all? Praise be to God. And again, one of my favorite verses, he remembers my sin no more. Thank you, Jesus. Because we all get those flashbacks. We all get those YouTube flashbacks of our past lives before we came to know the Lord. But the good news is it's in the deepest part of the sea, and he remembers it no more. Praise God. And so here we see the beast carrying the harlot. Seven heads and 10 horns. Seven heads refers to the seven mountains. 10 horns represent 10 kings who will be serving with the harlot and the beast. And the 10 horns represent 10 kings who enable the beast, the Antichrist, to rise to power, even yielding to his authority. Back in chapter 6, at the opening of the first seal, Antichrist began his peaceful conquest of the European nations as he organized a United Nations of Europe, if you would, the United States of Europe. And it's coming. Why? Because Scripture says so. And we see evidence of those things coming back together right now. But in the midst of the tribulation period, he's going to break his covenant. No surprise, because the devil is a liar and there's no truth in him. does not keep his word. And so he's going to break his covenant with Israel and begin to persecute Israel. That's another thing that blows me away today. Do you know that anti-Semitism is beginning to grow in the world again today? You don't hear that on the news. They won't tell you that on the news. Read the Jerusalem Post. Read the Arutz Sheva. Anti-Semitism is on the rise, especially in Europe and the United States of America, all over the world. And usually when someone takes a shot at the Jews, I love Israel, I love the Jews, because they're God's people. They're the apple of my eye, God said. God also said, woe to those who come against Israel. They're not perfect, just like we're not perfect, but God has a plan for them. And one of the greatest evidence that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world is Israel. Yeah. Born in Israel, Son of God, in Bethlehem, Savior of the world. And how sad it is. And when someone takes a shot at the Jewish people, I go, what do you got against them? And you know what? No one's ever really given me an answer for that. It's like most of the things in this world, this is just what they heard. There's a lot of people that hear things and think, oh, that's the truth. I heard it on the news, or someone told me. And that's usually the answer I get. Well, someone told me. Be very, very careful. Because Romans chapter 1 says that if you approve of something sinful, you're just as guilty as those who practice it. Whoa. What's your stand on sodomy? What's your stand on abortion? What does God's word say? We have to be very, very careful what we buy into in this world today. And so here we see that he's going to break his covenant with Israel. He's energized by Satan. He becomes a world dictator. In where? The third temple. Well, where's the third temple, Pastor Joe? Well, again, read the Jewish newspaper, because they are on the verge of rebuilding the third temple right now. And they can do it within a year. And Antichrist is going to take his place in the third temple, proclaiming to be God. He's going to be the world's dictator, making himself out to be God. Today, believers see the harlot and the Babylonian system in an apostate world church. Many different ways the churches, some of them, have drifted away from God. There have been church splits over the years. The Methodist Church was fire and brimstone when the Wesleys formed it, John and Charles Wesley, and now they become one of the most liberal churches in the world. How sad. They buy into everything and anything. They have no regard for God's word, no regard for doctrinal truth, and they reject God's authority. Again, many of you know we spent 12 years in Vermont. These cute little white churches with the little steeples, with the little bells. And I preached in almost every church around our surrounding area. And you know what? Every church I went into, none of them had Bibles in the pews. And I would say, turn in your Bibles to such and such. And they'd look at me like I had two heads. Because they're not preaching and teaching the Word of God in many churches in New England. And guess what? All of the Ivy League churches in New England used to be seminaries, and now they're cemeteries. Sad. The spirit has departed. And that's why we're so excited to go back there and just deliver the mail. And we still get cards and letters from people at our house thanking us that they came to know Jesus Christ because they heard the word of God for the first time. Amazing. But the whole system rejects God. They try to unite the world on some other basis other than faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. There's only one nation, or there's only one way a nation can survive, and that's to be a nation under God. The revival of the Roman Empire and the appearance of its charismatic leader will cause the world of unbelievers, whose, it says here, names are not written in the book of life, to marvel. Again, no God, no Christ. In verse 9, it says, this is wisdom, the angel says. Seven heads, Rome. Seven kings, emperors. I've got a list of those seven heads or seven kings. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. And of course, as we see here, the seventh king will be Antichrist. Ten horns symbolize the future kings who will rule after a short time. Verses 11 to 13. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition, destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings, and you have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Wow. We're all going to follow him, Antichrist. These ten kings will rule for a short time, it says, but they will eventually surrender their nation. This is an interesting term I found in my studies this week. They will surrender their national sovereignty. Have you heard that term lately? Hello? Grandma, what big eyes you have. They're getting ready to surrender their national sovereignty to the beast. Again, verse 13, they are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Now, an amazing thing is going to happen when this prophecy written by John is fulfilled. He's going to give us the rest of the story. The harlot, the false religious system, is going to be destroyed. The harlot will be desolated, Scripture says, by the very one, the beast, by the very system that carried her. Because Antichrist has a plan. Satan and the beast will use the apostate religious system for a while, and then they will destroy the harlot and establish their own system. And again, this doesn't seem far off, does it? This could happen. Quickly. Verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. We know who the Lamb is, right? For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate or destroy her, and naked eat her flesh, sounds like Jezebel, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast, until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So eventually, it says here in verse 14, there will be war with the Lamb, and Jesus is going to overcome them. And those who are with Jesus, the Lamb, us, we're called the chosen and faithful. But before this all takes place, before Christ's return, it says here that the harlot who previously sat on the beast will be destroyed. Wow. And her flesh will be eaten and buried or burned with fire. As the beast is set up in the temple, making himself out to be God, the ten kings will assist the beast in desolating the harlot. The end of the whole false religious system is coming. And again, as we see in verse 17, it's all according to God's plan. God's incredible plan is going to be fulfilled. And all that John is writing in the revelation of Jesus Christ, every chapter, every verse is given by the inspiration of God. It's prophetic and it will come to pass. You can bet your life on it. Notice what we see here. Satan's counterfeit religion, as we see here, is very subtle. We need wisdom and discernment like never before. You need to know what God's Word says. You need to know the Holy Scriptures. You need to know the truth. And how does that happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We need spiritual discernment like never before in the days in which we live. You know what? And I'm going to close with this. The Apostle Paul was concerned that the church not be seduced by the harlot. Drunken by the harlot. Away from a sincere devotion to Jesus Christ. Paul was concerned about that. Why? Because Paul will write to Timothy, we're going to look there in a moment, that in the last days before the return of Jesus Christ with his church, that there will be a great falling away. That saddens my heart. That there will be a great falling. When God says great, he means great. Sad. Let me read to you, first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You can turn there if you choose. I'll read it for you real quick. 1-4. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you, speaking to the church at Corinth with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And notice what he writes. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen to this. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. That's pretty heavy stuff. Again, we need wisdom, knowledge, insight, discernment. We need Jesus Christ preached today like never before, not some other Jesus. And there are others that preach a false Jesus today. Different spirit, different gospel. And he says, many people will put up with it. And you've heard me a million times quote James 3:1. Not many should teach the word because you will receive a stricter judgment. And shame on those in pulpits today that don't preach God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. It's God's word. We don't add to it. We don't take away. Also, in every generation, there is a tremendous pressure to conform with that which is popular. Oh yeah, people want to be entertained today in churches. We're not looking for entertainment. I am so blessed by this fellowship of believers that God has birthed here. With the worship, with the fellowship, with the word, with the joy, with the love in this place. And it's because of God's word. We don't ever want to abandon the fundamental biblical truths of God's word, of the faith. That's a dangerous thing. In these last days, we need to take heed, and I'll close with these two sections, to what Paul told Timothy. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 11. Still got 3 hours left, so I can get through these two sections. There's some heavy stuff, but it's some good stuff. We need to hear it. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. How sad. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what that means? Desensitized. Forbidding to marry. That's interesting. It's interesting. There's a denomination that does not allow priests to marry. And they say that Peter was the first pope. But Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Interesting. I'll move on. And commanding to abstain from foods. Yeah, you need to eat fish on Friday, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. That's why we give thanks when we pray for our food. Thank you, Lord, for what you provided. Because there's a lot of people, including Christians in this world, that go to bed hungry every night. And what do? We pray for the food, then complain about it. Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Too hot, too cold, just right. You know? If you're going to give thanks for your food, shut up and eat it. Give thanks. Notice, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's why we pray for our food. Peter had a problem with that too, didn't he? God brought a sheet down from heaven 3 times. He must have had ADD. Lord had to ask him 3 times, take and eat. Lord had to ask him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? You know, everything Peter had to do 3 times. Moving right along. If you instruct the brethren in these things, speaking of Timothy, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Dogma is not doctrine. We need good, solid doctrine which comes from God's holy scriptures. Look at this. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now, that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach. And you know what? Those who preach God's word, they're going to suffer reproach. They're going to catch some heat, some flack. Especially the closer we get to the finish line. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe, these things command and teach, he says to Timothy. And the last section, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. That doesn't happen today, right? Let me just take a selfie here real quick. My Bible says, deny your selfie daily and pick up your cross and follow him. Paraphrase. Deny yourself. One day you'll get old and gray and bald and you won't be taking any selfies of yourself. You know what? It's so, so important, isn't it, with what we see here? Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Would you say that's true today? Boasters? With some people, the last question you want to ask them is, tell me about yourself. 3 hours later, proud. What's the sin of Satan? Pride. Blasphemers. We have to be very, very careful not to blaspheme the name of the Lord. I don't even like the acronym OMG. I changed it in my own life. OLMG. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder. I like the OLMG, not the OMG. I'll move on. Notice, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Have you noticed that just a little bit these days? Especially around Christmas time, you go and buy all this stuff at the store and you pay for it and they don't even say thank you. Unholy, unloving. Would you say that we're there? Unforgiving. Wow. I could spend the whole rest of the morning on that one. It blows me away how many people refuse to forgive. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Anybody in here ever heard the Lord's Prayer? Do you know the two verses that follow the Lord's Prayer? Jesus, red letters, right after the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive others, I will forgive you. If you do not forgive others, I will not forgive you. That's a heavy one. And oftentimes when I have to deal with people with unforgiveness, I take them to that verse. Hey, do you know the Lord's Prayer? Oh, yeah, I know it, yeah. Our Father, who art in heaven, I mean, wait a minute now. Do you know the two verses that follow? Would you say that forgiveness is important as a Christian? We have been forgiven. Look what God has forgiven us, and we refuse to forgive someone else? Slanderers. You know what that is? Gossip. Murdering someone's character. Jesus said, if you hate somebody, you've murdered them. How many people are guilty of murder today? Without self-control, hello. Brutal. Despisers of good. I don't have time to expound on all these, but they're pretty heavy. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Would you say that exists today? Well, guess what? I think we're batting 1,000 in America. And he says in the last days, these things will be going on. So don't fasten your seatbelts. Leave your seatbelts unfastened because it'd be a bummer to have your seatbelt on when you get raptured. Notice this, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And there's a lot of people out there that claim to be religious. I was baptized here. I took communion there. Wait a minute. Are you born again? What? Oh, that's some new religious thing. Oh, really? How about 2,000 years ago when Jesus told a religious man, you must be born again? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, which we've all been born of the flesh. But have you been born of the Holy Spirit? That's the second birth. You know me again with my sense of humor. I had a birthday this week. Somebody says, how old are you? I said, 40. That's my second birth. I don't keep track of my first birth anymore. That's out the door. I'm 40 years old, my second birth, Thanksgiving. And I have the most wonderful Thanksgiving every year because of my second birth. Notice, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And how sad it is, these creeps creep in, stumble women, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How sad. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs was also. Last section, this is good. I know I say that about every chapter, every verse. But you, speaking to Timothy, have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. That, in a nutshell, is the type of life that we need to live, folks, as Christians. Is doctrine important to you? Doctrine is extremely important to God, and it is for us. How about your manner of life? You know, if you're truly born again, there's going to be a change in the way that you live. It's a supernatural thing that comes when the person of the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you and I. We're not the same. How about purpose? How about faith? How about long-suffering and love and perseverance? These are all fruits of the Spirit that we need within our lives. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And you know what? That's not just for Paul. That's for you and I. I know many of you here in this room, in this fellowship, and many of you watching on YouTube are going through some really, really, really difficult times. We have too recently. But you know what? At the same time, and Tina will testify of this, we have seen God answer so many incredible prayers. It is a mind blower. And you know how we see God's hand oftentimes? It's just what we see here. You know, the trials and the afflictions. Out of those, the Lord will deliver you. Maybe you're going through something hard right now, something very, 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 very difficult. Well, I got news for you. As a believer, Jesus Christ is going to deliver you from them all. We've all been there. How many times have you been in a place going, Lord, help? Anybody ever pray that prayer? Help! I prayed that so many times, and lo and behold, it's in the rearview mirror now. And guess what? He went with me every step of the way and got me through it. And as shared many times in jest, sometimes we pray to God and says, this is how you need to do it, Lord, to get me out of this. You're not going to see God's hand that way. Just pray, Lord, help. And guess what? He will do it in a way that you never, ever, ever anticipated. And that way you can see the hand of God. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Does it say might there? No, you will. If you're a godly person, if you're full of the Holy Spirit and living a life for Jesus Christ, and someone comes against you, guess what? They're not coming against you. They're coming against He who is in you. It's Jesus Christ that's convicting them, the light. They have to put their shades on when they come around you, because there comes that light again, man. Hurts my eyes. But you know what? We will suffer persecution. But the Apostle Paul also said that the sufferings of this time can't be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us one day. We're going to get to heaven. I know I am. Maybe you won't. What a wimp I was back there, murmuring, complaining, whining. And look what God has done. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Hello. Deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. What are you saying there? Press on, saint. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Finish line. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in who? Christ Jesus. You tell me how important the Holy Scriptures are. He was raised by his mama and his grandma, trained up in the ways of the Lord. We're not sure if his dad was even saved. But he was raised and trained up by his mother and his grandmother. I'm going to close with this. Two of my favorite verses in all of the New Testament. All Scripture. How much is all? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You know what that means? It's God-breathed. How much of the Scripture is God-breathed? All of it. All of it. And is profitable. There it is again. Doctrine. Not dogma. Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Huh. Reproof, I'm sorry, doctrine, is what is right. Reproof is what is not right. And instruction is how to get right. So you tell me, is the Bible important to you? That the man or a woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we close, folks, as I started with, we're in a war, we're on a battlefield, and as we've seen in our text and what I close with from Paul in 1st and 2nd Timothy, we need to be ready. We need to put on the full armor of God. We need to get into God's Word and get God's Word within us. But most of all, you need to be born again. Jesus told a religious man, Nicodemus, he came to him at night. I call that Nick at night. And he said, you must be born again. Jesus said it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so you must be born again. Going to church won't save you. You can get saved there, but by being a church member won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. You must have Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. How do I do that, Pastor Joe? I'm glad you asked. Paul again said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so if God has spoken to you this morning and you know that you need to be saved today, you know that you need to be born again today, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Anyone? Today is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I know this guy, Robert. You're a blessing, brother. It's been nice to spend time with you. And Samantha. Why don't you stand with them? All right. Pray this prayer with me, Robert, if you would, please, out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption. And I thank you in Jesus' name. I want to give you a hug, brother. Okay, donut time. Go and be filled. Oh, that means the Holy Spirit. Let's all stand one more time. Thank you all for coming this morning on this beautiful sand day. And as I often say, if I don't see you in the future, I will see you in the pasture. God bless you. Closing song, Chuck?
Yes, sir.
What do we got?
God bless America.
All right. God bless
you. It's a prayer.